Welcome to StoryShare, a podcast from the Interview Girl Foundation that brings you inspiring stories, interviews, and advice each week. The Interview Girl Foundation collects untold, unknown, inspiring, and interesting stories and then shares these stories with the world with two goals in mind. One, to provide amazing content for the public, and two, to achieve social good through the proceeds from the products where the stories are shared. The mission of our nonprofit organization is to spread inspiration, creativity, advice, and/or positivity via the stories that we collect. Today's Story Share episode is from the Interview Girl Foundation's World War II story series. Soon, the Interview Girl Foundation will be releasing a book called Chasing Time. This book is a compilation of stories from individuals who lived through World War II. Chasing Time shares the stories of World War II vets from the Army, Navy, and Air Force, Holocaust survivors, nurses, POWs, liberators of concentration camps, and many others. A millennial, Victoria, asked all of these members of the World War II generation what they learned from living through World War II. Chasing Time is a compilation of these World War II stories. To find out when Chasing Time will be released, visit the website chasingtime.us. Today's episode on Story Share is a story from the book Chasing Time. Victoria is a millennial and the founder of the Interview Girl Foundation. She completed interviews with the World War II generation, and each interviewee taught her a life lesson. Today's episode is an excerpt from Chasing Time. This story from Victoria for Chasing Time is entitled Mr. Blazier Made Me Laugh, a story from a sailor who served in the Pacific and a love story. Mr. Blazier taught Victoria the importance of laughter. Here is Victoria's story about Mr. Blazier. Victoria writes, "On my commute home, after a typical school day, Chicago traffic was at its usual stop and go. I was tired after a long day, annoyed with Chicago traffic, yet I still made phone calls from my cell phone as I sat in traffic to see if I could reach anyone who had a World War II story to share. Invariably, I received several voicemails from people letting me know that they had stories to share during the previous week, so I decided to call people back. I dialed phone numbers from my cell phone and no one was answering, so I left voicemails for those individuals explaining my project. After leaving several voicemail messages, I dialed Mr. DeBlazier's phone number and he picked up. Mr. DeBlazier said hello with heartiness and zest. Hi, Victoria, he continued. You have been trying to get a hold of me. He laughed. So how long of a story do you want? I told him that however long his story was, I would be there to listen. How long do you have? He asked. I responded, it doesn't matter. However long you have. He laughed. How long do you got? Within minutes into our conversation, suddenly, the aggravating Chicago traffic seemed as if it went away. The man on the other end of my cell phone told me a story that transported me back to the 1940s. From the very beginning of his story, it was a love story. His story began even before he left to go overseas. Okay, I'll start, he commenced. In 1942, he was 17 and he had just graduated from high school. He depicted for me how he was at a carnival throwing baseballs, knocking balls over, and winning these beautiful prizes. He shared, "The guy running the game made me quit because I was winning so many. There were four girls standing and back watching. I didn't want the prizes, so I gave them to the prettiest girl." He told me that when the girl returned home that night, her mother asked her, "Where did you get all of those?" She told her mom, "Some boy gave them to me." He began to describe a time when he was at a football game. That pretty girl, she was a cheerleader. My buddy and I sat behind her. I asked the pretty girl if I could walk her home, and she told me to drop dead. He laughed. He then continued, "Since she didn't pay any attention to me, naturally, when the ball game was over, I walked her girlfriend, another girl, home. I dated this girl, who was her best friend all fall. In 1943, I turned 18. You know that poster where it shows Uncle Sam and he is saying, 'I want you'?' He wanted me, but I tried to tell him, 'You don't want me. I'm a lover, not a fighter.' On January 29th, 1943, he turned 18 and he had to go down to the draft board and sign up. He said, 'From January to April, I was a free man. I kept telling Uncle Sam, I am a loving man, not a fighting man, but they took me anyway. Mr. Blazier was in the Navy Reserves. When he left for training and he had to report to the Great Lakes Naval Training Center, the whole town came down to see the guys off before they boarded the train. He was leaving Camille, Illinois for boot camp. His love story continued. I was going steady with a girlfriend of my now wife, and I was going steady with another little girl in town nearby. The girl from the town nearby and my girlfriend from my town both came to the train station. He laughed as he continued his story. My now wife and her mother kept the two girls whom I was seeing away from one another while they were waiting for the train to come. The amazing thing is neither girl became suspicious. I told my girlfriend from the other town to stay in one area of the train station, and then I entered the train from the back end of the train. On my way down to the back end of the train, my girlfriend at the time, my now wife, and her mother all came up to me. My girlfriend at the time walked away, so now it was just my now wife and her mother left standing. Just before the train took off, I jumped off to give my now wife a kiss, and she yelled, "D-Blazer, I hope the Japs get you." He and I were both laughing after he told me this story. I asked him why he joined the Navy. He explained, "I had a choice. I saw these Marines, those uniforms, they looked pretty. They were already filled up, so I chose the Navy, and that's how I got into the Navy Reserves." They went to boot camp training for the Navy at the Great Lakes Naval Base in Illinois. From there, they shipped out to a destroyer base in San Diego. He was in the amphibious forces. He drove landing barges, LCVPs, that hit the beach. The landing craft, vehicle, personnel, LCVP, or Higgins boat, was a landing craft used extensively in amphibious landings in World War II. His unit went to Pearl Harbor, and from there, they went to the invasion of Marshall Island. They did this invasion while they were on the ship, the USS Mercury. At this time, he was still 18. He made friends with this one guy. Every evening after supper time, they would fill up one of those barges and play billing. Eventually, the unit hit Marshall Island. He drove an LCVP. He recalled, "On my third or fourth trip into the beach, I saw this LCVP floundering around out there. I saw the boat just stumbling along. Then I realized, hey, that's our ship. I came to find out what happened from Border Patrol. A guy told me what happened to my little buddy. I came to find out he was only 15 years old. Lying about one's age was quite common then. I never could find out how exactly he died. All I heard was that he was hit in the face." Mr. Blazier's crew was then sent back to Pearl Harbor in 1945. From there, they went on to the invasion of Iwo Jima. Mr. Blazier vividly remembered a story about two boys from his crew. They called the two boys Mutt and Jeff. Mutt and Jeff is an American newspaper comic strip that ran from November 15, 1907 to 1982. Augustus Mutt was a tall, rangy racetrack character, but the strip was transformed when Mutt encountered the half-pint Jeff, an inmate of an insane asylum, on March 27, 1908. Due to the strip's popularity, Mutt and Jeff became idiomatic for any tall and short pair of men. D. Blazier elaborated, "We called them that because they resembled Mutt and Jeff because one was really tall. The night before Iwo, Mutt was leaning over the tub and his little buddy came by and pushed him. Mutt said to Jeff, 'I hope you get your butt shot.' D. Blazier then shared, 'Well, Jeff got killed there on the beach. That will be on his mind for the rest of his life. Jeff wound up in the gutter.'" D. Blazier had recollections about Mount Suribachi. "I actually saw the flag raised at Iwo. The flag was put up on Mount Suribachi. The Marines and the Navy put that flag up on Iwo." The invasion of Okinawa. "Okay, I have another story for you, Victoria," he informed me. He shared, "On Okinawa, we lost 1 million Navy vessels and ships. Early in the morning, kamikazes were attacking. One flew over 100 feet high right over the top of our ship. Our ship opened up with everything we had. One soldier was not complying. When our captain got a hold of him, he said, 'What do you want that son of a bitch to do? Send up for you?' He reflected, 'I had 5 friends that did not make it. You know, Victoria, I can see those guys in their faces. Their faces haven't changed. Here I am, 88. I just keep visualizing them.' After recalling those sad memories, he came back to his wife. When I asked him if he corresponded with anyone during the war, he said, 'That was the only thing I had going for me. You really look forward to that mail call and getting some letters from home. That kept you pepped up all the time now.'" His love story continued. "I came back from serving in World War II and I never did date that beautiful little girl who I told you about in the beginning of the story. I was too scared to ask her out for a date. I finally did get enough nerve, and I finally did ask her to go steady. You know what she told me? D-Blazer, I would not trust you any more than I would a cheater. He smiled. I did a lot of sweet-talking. We have been married 67 years. On October 19th, 2013, we were married 67 years. He further described his love affair that he initiated his story with when he and I began talking. We just happened to be around each other. We never did go on a date. I never did ask her for a date. I was afraid to ask her for a date because I was afraid that she would say drop dead. She was a very popular girl. I asked D-Blazer what life lessons his experience of serving in World War II taught him. He reflected, "It took 3 years of my life away. You could say that. I was out there in the Pacific on these islands. The only good place I went to was Pearl Harbor. Honolulu back then was loaded down with Marines and armies." He gave me an account of the time that he returned to Honolulu. He took his wife there in 1977. The bus was driving along and they noticed the broken down windows. The bus driver showed the group where all the action happened back in the 1940s. The bus driver asked, "Were any of you men there at this time?" D-Blazer raised his hand, and then the bus driver said, "Daddy!" His zestful laugh then followed, as did my laugh. He told me about his family. My dad and mom were religious. I got home safely because of my mother's prayers. He said that his older brother had it more difficult than him. He had it worse than I did. His older brother was in the army in the South Pacific. He told me an interesting story about his father. Dad ran a neighborhood grocery store at this time. A man came in and was bragging about what a great man Hitler was. Dad grabbed his butcher knife and drove his butt out of there. Dad said, "I don't want you in here ever again." Dad went down the steps after the guy with his butcher knife. Dad yelled, "You have 3 seconds to get out of here." He reflected about his upbringing. "I'm an old country boy. I lived during the Depression. We were so poor, the poor people called us poor." Before his dad got the store, his family lived on a sharecropper. He reflected, "I never went hungry. We killed our hogs. Mama canned blackberries. Mom had to can 100 quarts of blackberries. There were 7 of us kids. We never went hungry. But we never had any money, Victoria. I grew up in Illinois. Now, I'm down in Evansville, Indiana." He wrapped up our interview. D-Blazer expressed to me, "If you have any questions, please give me a call." He politely affirmed, "Thank you for listening to my stories." From this World War II veteran, I was reminded of the magic that comes from laughter. Laughing is good for us. Research even proves the benefits of laughter. D-Blazer's story is used for this dynamic and powerful lesson because he had me laughing regularly. His good-humored nature was impossible to miss during our interview. His amusing persona was a combination of his jokes, his stories, the intonation and diction of his voice as he shared his stories, and his overall personality. The magic and the power of laughter is called to our minds when someone in life makes us laugh. From start to finish, Mr. D-Blazer made me laugh. So much so that Chicago traffic disappeared while he and I spoke. Thank you for joining today's episode of Story Share, where you heard Mr. D-Blazer's story from World War II. We leave you with our question. Do you take time to laugh in your life? What makes you laugh? Let us all remember and honor Mr. D-Blazer and how he taught us the importance of laughing in our lives. Again, thank you for being part of another episode of Story Share, the podcast from interviewgirl.org that brings you inspiring stories and advice each week. Visit us online at interviewgirl.org. We would love to hear from you. We will see you next week for another episode of Story Share.